Birthdays. I think Melinda's got a birthday tomorrow. If Mike had the mic on when we were singing, y'all all know that I'm not a singer at all. So I'm going to ask somebody to get us started off with a birthday. Because you definitely don't, it will be a noise, not so joyful. See, wasn't that much better? That was much better than me. All right, if you have your Bibles, if you would, if you turn to Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 through 38. Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 through 38. And just give a little history here. Jesus had been doing a lot of healing, healing a tremendous amount of people, and he had been going from town to town, city to city, and preaching the gospel and healing every sickness and disease that the people were having. When he came upon the multitude here, we'll see in our scripture that he felt compassion, that he felt a burden laid on him because of what he saw in them. So let's start with Matthew 9. Verse 35. Then Jesus went about in all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Please pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just pray that you guide this service. Lord, we just pray a special blessing upon the reading of your word. And Lord, we just pray that you would give me the words that you would have me to bring. Lord, I love you and praise you in Jesus Christ's precious and holy name. Amen. So how often have you seen signs and postings out for jobs? Job vacancies. You may see them on a paper. You may see them online. You may see them at an intersection, a little sign saying this company's hiring, that company's hiring, but saying the jobs are available. Well, I know Franklin County, Henry County, Martinsville, this whole area, it's a lot of jobs out there. We have a lot of people saying that there are no jobs available, but the jobs definitely outweigh the desire of some of the people to work. So there are a lot of jobs out there, and you know, sometimes those jobs it takes a long time to get one. Sometimes I know with our son Jacob, he had been trying to get on with the fire department, and he had been applying and just really getting down in the dumps because he couldn't get a job. And I told him, I said you got to look at, you got to think, those jobs aren't very plentiful, because it's a lot of volunteer fire departments out there, so the paid departments are not as is not as many of those opportunities. So he applied for Northeast Guilford, North Carolina Fire Department. They were hiring two. He placed third. He applied for Summerfield Fire Department. They were hiring three. He placed fourth. So he was just really, really down in the dumps, and I told him, I said, everything will be all right, just bear with it, everything will be good. So he applies with Danville Fire Department, gets on part-time down there. He's working part-time in Eden, but he was wanting that full-time job. Well, he got a call from Northeast Guilford and said, "Hey, we've got a vacancy, we'd like to offer you a job." So he accepted it, started. In his first week, he gets a call from Summerfield, says, "Hey, we've got a vacancy, we'd like to offer you a job." A couple weeks ago, he gets a call from Danville, said, "Hey, we've got a vacancy, we want to offer you a job." So it was feast or famine. And but he was out there searching, and the jobs just weren't that plentiful. But you know, there's a job out there that is plentiful. Those positions are plentiful. There are plenty of them out there, and those jobs are available in God's kingdom. There are jobs that are, there's an urgency to get those positions filled. They're important jobs. There are jobs that rank far higher than anything that we could do, else we could do here on this earth, much higher than a teacher, or a police officer, or an accountant, a fireman, anything else. These positions rank far higher than that. And these are the jobs that lead people to our Lord and Savior. So what out there could be more important than that? You know, there was as we read in our scripture this morning, there was an emotion felt by Jesus when he saw the multitude. And that led him to say that the workers are few, that we need to bring more people in to fill these positions, to get out there and share this message with the world. So Jesus felt compassion for the people because they were lost and they had no one filling the position that would lead them to where they needed to be going. And we need to understand that many people are lost in this world, and we need to be the leaders and the workers that are going to help to bring these people to know our Lord and Savior. So there are three things that we need to do. It'll help us to bring people to know our Lord and Savior. And that first is that we need to have compassion. We got to have compassion for the lost of the world. You know, Jesus, he had been going, he had been healing through the cities and the towns, and he had been preaching the gospel to everyone. But when he saw the multitudes, he had compassion. Because they were, what he saw when he looked at them, he saw that they were weary and that they were scattered. Jesus had compassion because it was a shepherdless crowd. Jesus often uses shepherd and sheep to describe how we all need a leader to help us down the path that we need to be going. So we think of sheep, what do we think of? What picture comes into our mind? Me, it's green pastures, shepherd overlooking them, guarding them. And the shepherd's overlooking and guarding them because the sheep are defenseless. They don't have a defense mechanism. They are fully reliant upon that shepherd to take care of them. The shepherd, he takes them to green pastures. He takes them to fresh water. Without the shepherd, the sheep are confused. They're helpless. They're hungry. They're lost. And they're vulnerable. So they're weary and they're scattered. And the pastor is often looked at as that leader that will help take the flock to those greener pastures and those safe fields. But I say each of us are leaders. Each of us need to shepherd. Each of us are influential, and we have the ability to bring people to know our Lord and Savior. So we can all understand what it's like to be without a leader. We may have felt lost. We may lack a desire to lead. But how does it feel to be lost? Who's ever lost anything? At our house, we constantly lose the remote control. And there's nothing more devastating than to not have that remote control. Because I'm the typical male, I've got that remote control in my hand all the time. It doesn't matter what it is, we can watch a 2-hour movie, that remote control is going to be in my hand because I might need to turn it up a little bit. I can't set it down, I've just got to have that in control all the time. It might be brought up to me that I have to be in control of that all the time every once in a while, but if I'm going to turn up, if it falls into the cushions of the couch and I want to turn the TV up, I don't just get up and walk to the TV. I take 10 minutes disassembling the couch, looking underneath it, trying to find this remote control instead of just getting up and walking over there and turning it up. So it is kind of devastating when I lose that. But, you know, we lost something far more valuable than that remote control one time. And we were at the beach and lost my sweet little baby girl. We were sitting there. We were down at Ocean Lakes, and it was we haven't been back down there since, because it was just, it was so crowded out there, and it was just shoulder to shoulder. And forgot how, what she, seven. So Jacob was 10, and they were just right in the water, like water that deep, just right there in the water. And we're sitting there, and we're watching them. Well, Jacob, he could spot the lemonade lady 10 miles down the beach. He would see her coming, and it would get two. Once when he saw her, he would run over there and get one. He'd have it eaten before she got out of sight to where he'd go get the second one. Well, they were in the water. They came up, and he said, can I get a lemonade? So we look and grab him some money out of a bag and look back up, and she's gone. Well, every time she came out of the water would carry him up the beach a little bit. Every time she would come out, she would turn and go to right instead of to the left where we were. Well, of course, we're panicking, and we go out, and I didn't see, she had the little boogie board with her, and I didn't see that, and I wasn't concerned about the waves. That wasn't what was bothering me. What was bothering me is some predator. That's what I was worried about. What would happen if somebody saw a little girl crying, somebody lead him off the beach, you'd think, look, she just didn't want to go in. So that's what was bothering me. So Amy went to the lifeguard station. I started walking up the beach. And I'm going up the beach, and I'm looking, and there were just people everywhere, and I couldn't find her. And I'm walking, I'm panicking. And I guess it was about 20 minutes or so that she was gone. And we found out, okay, she had made it 2 miles up the beach. And a lady saw her walking and crying, and said, "Are you okay?" And she said, "I can't find my mom and daddy." And so she took her to the lifeguard station. She was out of our sight for a total of 45 minutes, because it took that long for them to bring her on a cart down to us. It tells you how far they were and weaving through all of the people. But I knew how that. I can't imagine what Diana was feeling during that time, but I know what I felt like, and I know that hole, that the rest of the week, she didn't go to the bathroom by herself. In the house we were staying in, I'm sitting, okay, hurry up. I'm waiting. But we're going to make sure that we didn't lose her again. And it just, but I know that feeling of being lost, that feeling of not knowing where you are, where you're supposed to, knowing where you want to be, but not knowing where you are. I can't imagine how overpowering that is. But what about the people who out there that we think about those who are lost and know that they're lost and that they're struggling and fighting and trying to get to where they want to be? But what about those people who don't know that they're lost? They don't know what they're missing in life. They don't know that what Jesus has to offer them. So how do we get to those people? How do we convince those people that they're missing? You know, we tell them about Jesus. And we let Him do His work within them. And He's going to take care of it. We share the message with them, and He's going to convict them. You know, we got to get out into the streets. I'm sure you remember a story that was in Luke 14 where Jesus told of a man that was having a large gathering, and the people were making excuses why they didn't want to come. I've just bought a team of oxen. I've got to go and take care of them. Just got married. I've got to take care of this. I've got too much stuff going on. I can't go. They were making all of these excuses. The man became angry. He became upset because they didn't want to come to his party. So the man sent his servant out into the highways and the hedges and told them to get the people to come, to compel them to come. So where the highways and the hedges, what that represents are the Gentile regions, those regions that there weren't believers, to reach out there and get those people and bring them in to know God. The scripture tells us he said to compel them to come. Doesn't mean that we do it by force. Doesn't mean we strong arm them and bring them in. What it means is that we convince them. We persuade them. We loving persuasion. And explain to them what they have to gain by becoming a part of our Lord and Savior. And this is what we've got to do. We got to go into all parts of the world and bring folks in. We have to use every tactic that we can think of. We got to develop ways that we can reach people and bring them in. And some of the events that we've got planned here at the church are Vacation Bible School, community meals, movie night, a cross hunt for the kids, sunrise service. We've got all of these things planned to bring people in. I've been asked quite a bit about Beulah and asked, well, tell me, what type of people are they? And I said, well, my first Sunday I had a comment from the back of the congregation about the lack of hair on my head. And the first person that goes, I don't know, that must have been the one that did it, right? And I told him, I said, you know, that how comfortable that made me feel when I have a little poking fun back at me. It made me feel really good. But what I was telling them, I said, I'm so impressed by the level of activity here. To be a small community church, the large amount of activity, the hard work and the enthusiasm, the dedication, the commitment, and the servant attitude that this church has. And that's what we need to be able to go out and reach people and bring people in, is to have that attitude, that motivation, that driving force. So the desire to do the work is present here. The compassion for those people who are lost, that's present here. So the next, we have to grow the workforce. You know, Jesus often uses farming imagery when he teaches about the kingdom of God, but he isn't speaking about the harvest of grain. He's speaking about the harvest of souls. The harvest of souls for salvation. But how can there be a harvest if no one's hearing the gospel? It's where we have to get out there. In the preceding verses here, Jesus, he did a lot of this. He was healing a lot of people. He was teaching a lot of people. So that's what we have to do. We got to get out there. Get out there in those highways and hedges and bring people in to know our Lord. I remember during my ordination service, Pastor First Baptist Ridgeway, Pastor Harris, he asked me to come down front, and he had a series of questions that he was going to ask me. And my answer to each question was, I will, and I'll ask God to help me. And just because we may not be that 1,000-member church where there are tons of workers, we still got a strong workforce right here. And we can accomplish whatever we need to because we can ask God for his help, and God's going to provide it. We need to get out there, and we need to reach people and bring them in. And we not only bring them in to know Jesus, but we show them how to be a leader. The Great Commission tells us to go out in the world and make disciples. And the objective here is to make disciples. He doesn't tell us to go and become a disciple. He's expecting us already to be that. He's telling us to go out and make disciples. We need to be disciple makers. We get out there and we need to grow our church, the church, in two ways. One, we can grow in numbers. But before we grow in numbers, we got to grow spiritually. Far too often, church growth is simply viewed by the number of people sitting in the pews. Served on a couple of pastor search committees, and I really didn't like seeing those resumes that had 37% growth at this church, 50% growth at this church, because I knew what they were talking about. They were just talking about numbers. Okay, I went from 100 people to 150. Okay, that was my growth. No, that's just call it, it's pew occupation. We're occupying a pew. Doesn't necessarily mean that we're growing in our faith. But, and those numbers are great. We get people in here, and that's how we help them to grow in their faith. But spiritual maturity should come first. I was talking with a guy at the office a few weeks ago, and he said that he's a new believer, and he told me, he said, well, reason people go to church is the music. And I said, well, I said, it's a component. I said, the reason we go to church is to praise and honor and glorify our Lord and Savior. That's the reason we go to church. The music is a means by which we do that. And some say that they come to church for the message. You know, that's another means by which we praise and honor and glorify our Lord and Savior. Why we come to church should be is praising Him, is honoring Him, is glorifying Him, is becoming closer to Him, is learning to serve Him better, and becoming more obedient to Him. So everything that we do in church should be for Him, to honor Him, to praise Him. We come here for Him. All of these things, they help us to grow in our faith. If we're able to grow in our faith, then we're able to better go into the world and share that gospel with them, share that message with the people. We're going to be better trained and we're going to be better educated in sharing that gospel. And that's our goal. It's to take that message out into the world. So how do we do it? How do we get the message to the people and get them to understand and grow the workforce? Jesus tells us in this next, in that the final verse of this chapter, what we need to do, and we need to be in an attitude of constant prayer for the lost in the world. You know, prayer is such a powerful tool. Pam and Linda and Sally all told me, they said, they wanted me to tell you this morning to thank you all that Sunday they felt those prayers. All during the week they felt those prayers. And there, Sally was telling me about a lady she'd asked me to pray for, and she was there in ICU, and she was struggling. She was having a really difficult time, and when I was getting ready to leave and praying for Dennis, and she asked me, said, would you pray for her too? And I did, and said that a little later on that night, just a calm came about her, and she kind of settled down for the night. And Sally said, I know what that was. That wasn't anything special about Eric's prayer. It was God took care of it. God did it. And unfortunately, she passed away. And unfortunately, in the human sense, she did. But fortunately, she passed away. And I hope she pray that she's there with our Lord and Savior right now. But prayer's a powerful thing. It will get us through situations, get us through things. It's, couldn't imagine what it would be like to live a life and not be able to reach out to our Lord and Savior and have that conversation with Him. Jesus affirms here that believers' prayers participate in the fulfillment of God's plan. Anything can be accomplished if we go to Him in prayer. John 15:7 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you will desire, and it shall be done for you. So praying, God's going to provide it. Doesn't necessarily mean He's going to provide it in exactly the same manner in which we pray it. If I pray, God, give me $10,000, well, He might give me the opportunity to get out and earn the money and make it. Doesn't mean that I'm going to walk to the house and there it's going to be. Guy used to work for us. He said that his son, he had always told me, he said, "You, what you give to God, God's going to give back to you." So he told me, he said, his son got home and thought that he threw $20 in the offering plate. He thought he was going to get $40 a little later on in the week. That God's going to give that back to him like that. And he said, well, that's not quite how it works. But But if we pray to God, God's going to provide. We prayed for Dennis. We got that healing. He's struggling right now with heart again. We need to continue to pray for him. We need to continue to pray for others in our church, in our community, and our friends and family that are struggling. So when we pray, what do we pray about? Too often people only pray for the things that they need or they want. Many times we pray for self and we forget to pray for others. We forget to put them first. We need to put their needs well above our own. And pretty sure I told y'all this. Our cousin, Nikki Hollinsworth, who had the baby and she ended up coding and had a lot of issues and struggles. But we kept praying and praying and praying and praying that for healing of her body. And I remember one night Amy and I were down there and we were in there by ourselves. It was just me and her and Nikki, and I prayed for God's will to be done. And God took care of it. She's at home right now. She's said she was going to be here, wanted to be here last Sunday, but wasn't. But you're going to see her in here one day, I'm confident. She's going to roll down through here in her wheelchair, and she's going to be sitting right here and praising with us. But prayer works. Prayer takes care of those desires, those needs, those wants that we have. We pray to God, God's going to take care of it. So we need to be praying that he's going to send workers out to help us with this harvest, to help us in the world, help us to bring people to know him. Goal is to bring people in. We need help to do this. We need to pray for others. We need to pray for their needs. We need to pray for their salvation. There was one mother one time who was trying to get her daughter to pray, and the daughter just didn't want any part of it, just didn't want to do it. And the mother, she was trying to motivate her and telling her that, you know, there are a lot of kids that don't have it as good as you do. They don't have loving parents. They may not have enough food. They may not have enough clothing. They may not have as many friends as you do, as many toys as you do. Well, the little girl said, well, it sounds like to me, she's the one who needs to be praying. And sometimes we forget about that, and we forget to pray for those other people. We're so consumed with self that we're not thinking about the other people. If we pray for other people, if we make them the focus of our prayer life and our prayer time, then God's going to take care of us. Many times when we just get so consumed with ourselves in prayer and we forget to pray for the needs of those other people. The Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 6, therefore, I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Paul wrote those words, but it was inspired by God. And he's telling us we need to pray for all. We need to pray for all men. So how do we take prayer and use it to benefit others? I think we need to be in that constant attitude of prayer. And I think sometimes, and if we're all honest, we'll probably have probably been subject to this from time to time. Sometimes we fail to, we tend to just focus on ourselves. We don't channel enough prayers to other people, and we don't we're not in that constant attitude of prayer. We are not, we pray when things get really, really bad on us, when things get really, really heavy on us, but we're not praying constantly. And every time we turn around, we're thinking and we're praying. I try to. Fall way short. But I try to. I try to pray all that I can, because I look around me and I see what God has provided me, and He's done me very well. He's done me far better than I deserved. But sometimes I'll complain about this or that. And then God shows me somebody else that's struggling out there and having a difficult time. It makes me realize and understand that I've got it pretty good. Got a loving wife, loving kids, loving church family, the opportunity to serve Him, the awesome calling that He's placed upon me. So I think about that, and what do I have to complain about? Absolutely nothing. What I have is an opportunity to praise Him, an opportunity to honor Him, and an opportunity to serve Him. When I begin to think that life is getting too heavy on my shoulders and I can't handle it, I need to thank God for what He's provided me. I need to pray for all of those people who don't have God in their life, for those who haven't heard the message of salvation, for those who are struggling in life without Him, and for Him to send others out into the world to help spread His message. I need to remember that prayer to my Lord and Savior will help me to grow spiritually. It'll help me to mature. Will help me to take the message to others, and will help me to grow His kingdom. So how do we accomplish the goal of bringing people to the Lord? We have compassion for them. We grow our workforce, and we pray for them constantly and seek to grow His kingdom. So we got a lot of work to do. Our world is in a sad, sad shape. We need to ensure that we're taking every advantage that we have to take the gospel and take it to folks. We need to ensure that we're doing everything that we possibly can to go out there and reach people. We need to ensure that we're taking care of the flock. Now, it doesn't take but a minute for us to pick up the phone and call somebody, to send somebody a text message, stop by and visit with them for a few minutes. Take a moment out of our time to share the gospel with them or to invite them to church. Jesus, He's told us that the harvest is plentiful. He's told us that our rewards are going to be great. He's also told us that workers are few. And we need to increase that workforce. We need to strengthen our numbers. And we need to grow His kingdom. We do this by loving folks. We do this by teaching them about Jesus. And we do this by praying for them. God loves us all. He sent His Son here to die a horrible and gruesome death for us, to take on that burden of sin that we have. There's 7 billion people in the world. 7 billion people, and He took on that burden of sin of every one of those people, and all of those that came before, and everyone that will come after. He took that on because He loves us so much. We think that we know love. We think that we understand love. We have love for a child. We have love for our spouse. We have love for our church. But we can't begin to understand love to the level that God loves us. Because if he would do that for me, if He would bear that, what He did for a sinner like myself, that's love beyond imagine, beyond what we could even comprehend. So let's prove that we're striving to love Him in the manner that he loves us. We know we won't achieve it, but we can work towards it. We can show him that we love him so much by getting out into the world and bringing people to know him. So as we go out this week, I just pray that we reach somebody, that we have a discussion with somebody. We all know people in our lives that are probably struggling with things, that are maybe struggling with their salvation, maybe struggling with other things in their life. And I just pray that we can go out and we can reach them, we can touch them, we can talk to them, and we can show them who Jesus Christ is. Please pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we humbly bow before you again, just thanking you for the many blessings that you have given us. But we just pray that you guide us this week. I pray that we can go out into the world, that we can have compassion for people, and we can seek out those people that are lost, and we can witness to them and help them to come to know you, that we can work with our fellow Christians and help them to grow spiritually and let them help us to grow. And Lord, as we come to the end of our service time this morning, Lord, I just pray that this message will reach someone, will help us to better serve you, to better praise you, and to better glorify you. Lord, I love you and I praise you in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.